was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 458, and man, is Dave ready. He's just chomping at the bit to get going. Yeah. We're going. Calm down. Holy cow. Well, let's get started. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Oh. Pat.
Brandon.
Spencer.
Dave, you're at like an 11.
We need
We can't match that energy.
Oh my gosh, okay.
Actually, I want to see it a little bit higher.
Hang on, let me see. We got no...
I'll bring it down.
We received no questions. Mike's not here to ask a question.
If he wasn't going to be here, he could at least send in a question.
He could have. Yeah. He could have. But you know what? What are you going to expect with with Mike? You know. So, anybody see any news? I honestly don't remember seeing anything news or noteworthy.
Nope, I didn't.
Spencer didn't. No. Okay.
Man, yeah.
This is going to be a quick podcast. I did get a nice collection. That was fun. Posting pictures on Facebook, and my entire Saturday was answering messages, comments on the post. Is this available? How much is this? That was actually a very fun Saturday, and led to a very good Sunday for people coming in and picking up the stuff. So that was really good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that very, very much. But that said, Dave, what did you read?
Let's read some new ones.
You read new books?
Some new books. Instead
of just some old ones?
Well, some new first issues.
Okay.
I read Project Patron.
Okay, that's from Aftershock.
Number one from Aftershock. It was actually pretty good. I think this has a good premise to it. Ways it could go. But it starts like 30 years ago. There was a battle between the superhero Patron and this ancient monster named Woe, and this obviously is an homage to Superman Doomsday. But what people don't know is that Patron died in that battle, and this group of people are keeping him alive, or have this conspiracy to keep the illusion that Patron is alive by having this replica, this android replica that different people pilot. And it's so tough doing it. It takes years off the pilots' lives. So there's different people who pilot the Patron for different missions. And in this first issue, there's a orbiting satellite that's a gambling casino that Patron saves, and you're meant to think that Patron's arch enemy Matthew Mammon is coming back, and you meet the group of characters who are in this conspiracy to keep Patron alive, and there's lots of people who have piloted the replica over the years, and it's like a massive deception. I think there's some cool places this thing can go if as this story goes along. Next, I read The Silver Coin.
I read that.
Another new one from Image. This is an anthology, and it has the same artist, Michael Walsh, and a different writer each issue. And the first writer in this issue is Chip Zdarsky. And this story takes place in 1970. It's about people who come in contact with this cursed silver coin.
I assume it was one of Judas's coins.
It's not made clear.
Okay. I don't know. It has this eye on it. So it's almost like it's like a witchcrafty kind of coin.
Yeah.
I couldn't place it. It's cool in the eye, like it moves.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, the story's about the first issue takes place in 1978, and it's this punk band who's going nowhere, and they get the worst spot to play at this bar.
Because, yeah, no one, no, they're playing like crazy, and then they show the audience, and there's nobody in it, and it's because, like, disco is becoming
yeah
the big thing.
Oh, yeah.
So, the lead singer, Ryan, he finds a coin with his mom's stuff, and circumstances lead him to use it as a pick for his guitar, and of course, the greatest sound comes out of the guitar and the band as a whole when they, as they're practicing. And they figure out it must be the coin.
Mm-hmm. And they're selling out shows, and like, but like, it's not enough for him.
Yeah, and a record exec from Polygram Records comes to see them play, but yeah, he is just full of greed and lust for fame, and that, if we give the ending away, but it kind of backfires on him at the end.
Yeah. It was definitely cool, and like, I hope the way the anthology is going is like, show the coin in like different eras.
Yeah.
So like, you know, what happened to his mom? Like, why, you know, what did the coin do to his mother? And like, his father knew about it, but he didn't like completely like warn his son away from it, right? You would think if it was so evil that he'd been like, would you, you know, but that wasn't his reaction at all. So
yeah, maybe she left it for some reason. Yeah.
Do they realize the coin like haunted? Like, is it one of those things?
Definitely. Yeah. He definitely knows that, like, it's the coin that, because he uses it like a pick.
Oh, okay.
He can't find a pick one day, and he uses the coin. It's very, like, it feels like Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone
in a comic book form.
Yeah.
So if the coin doesn't have, like, at least they haven't given it, like, rules. You know, like, not like the monkey's paw where you get, like, you know,
Three wishes.
But, like, in the next issues, if it's more, like, completely Twilight Zone-y and, like, you don't know what's you're gonna expect, I'd be really down for, this is an anthology. But if it's too repetitive and it's just, like, the same story
in
different context, that doesn't interest me.
Yeah, I agree. Somebody else finds the coin at the end of the story. So I don't know if it's going to pick up with there, but like you said, I like for it to pick up in another era. Yeah.
And I won't spoil it, but the panel of the guy picking up the coin is like super creepy and memorable.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I definitely like that book. And I think it's a limited anthology. It's like 5 issues.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll pick up the next issue. I don't know who's next.
I'm
pretty sure it's all like solid creators.
Oh yeah,
or solid
writers.
Definitely. And the art fits the book.
Oh, it definitely fits the book. Yeah. That kind of art, that real scratchy. That's not my favorite, but mm-hmm. it definitely fit the book and it was good.
Yeah. It has this like a, you know, 70s dive bar.
Oh yeah, band definitely
feel so.
Yeah. Then I read Avengers number 44,
revealing who the new Phoenix is.
I've dropped this, but I did pre-order Heroes Reborn, so go ahead and spoil it for me, because
I don't think it has anything to do with Heroes Reborn.
Yeah,
it's
no, there's another issue next week.
It's literally the same creative team,
right? But there's another issue next week, so that this isn't leading into Heroes Reborn. There's a King in Black issue next week. You know the book that ended last week?
Yeah. But
there's a King in Black Avengers.
It makes no sense because it's Heroes Reborn. It's talking about what if the Avengers never existed.
Right.
And it's by the team that's doing the...
Right, but I don't think it has anything to do with it. Jermaine was telling me it ties into the second arc of his Avengers run.
Okay, well, I read that.
Yeah, so it's spinning out of that. Sadly, that's out of print.
Can't plan these things.
No.
Sorry, Dave.
That's okay. There's
how was the wrap up to
it? It wrapped up. I don't know what the purpose of this was, other than a lot of fighting, you know. Between the heroes, and I mean, they do name, I mean, there's some fighting. We have, you know, Cap versus Black Panther at the North Pole, and She-Hulk versus Namor in Moscow or somewhere. In the, I think in the previous issue, the Phoenix Force told Thor that the Phoenix is Thor's mother. So,
and that he's not worthy, and now he can't lift the hammer again. Oh, no, I'm kidding.
So, the Avengers, the rest of the Avengers are out of the competition. They're trying to drain Phoenix of its power, and Thor's like, "No, don't do that to my mom. We got to find another way to do this." And so,
like, so is it just this Phoenix, or is it all like the Phoenix for like has always been his?
Yeah,
has
yeah,
always been his mother.
Yeah.
The other thing is, he has such a, like, attachment to Freya. Like, I would feel like even if he was, even if the Phoenix was his mother, like, he wouldn't, he, that's not, like, the reaction
yeah,
he had.
Yeah. So. I don't know. So, the new Phoenix is Echo.
Oh.
Maya Lopez.
Such an important character. Deep history in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah. Deep history of 10 or 15 years. So, and the first person to get in touch with Echo after she becomes a Phoenix is Jean Grey, psychically, you know, tells her, you know, don't let the Phoenix steal your humanity, and if you need help, I'm here.
Big Jean links up with...
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I was going to say, because I didn't think the yeah. Phoenix... Like, I didn't think telepathy was, like, a Phoenix power. I thought that was because of...
Jean Grey
it normally goes after...
telepathically
somehow. Okay.
Jean's becoming kind of a MacGuffin. Because they did that exact same thing in King of Black.
Uh-huh.
Where, like, when Null is, like, downed, Jean goes in and, like, reads his mind to find a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, totally, like... You know, it serves no plot except, so it serves no reason except to like advance the plot. Like, it's not,
yeah,
she's just like, yeah, let me figure out how to beat him by reading his own mind. Yeah, so
we'll see what happens from here. I don't know if the next issue is Heroes.
Yeah, it's next week. No, it's King and Black time.
King and Black. Wow,
we're getting a lot of King and Blacks after King and Black.
Okay.
Why, and Pat?
Black
why?
Started,
you can't play anything.
King and Black started last year, right? Didn't it start in like...
Yeah,
December?
Well, it was five issues, so yeah.
But like, Heroes Reborn is going to be done, it's going to be like weekly for
right.
2 months, right?
Yeah.
So, that makes no sense to me. Because these events are way better when you whip through them.
Yeah.
Way harder to order when they're weekly, and we have to order all the issues before the first one ships. It's like, what's demand going to be? It's a Squadron Supreme miniseries. Oh, okay.
But is it even, is it better with the King and Black stuff? Because now that King and Black's over, how excited are people going to be to read
right.
the tie-in?
Right. Exactly. You can't plan these
yeah.
things.
Well, you know, Fantastic Four this week is
right.
Is
yep. And we got the last issue of the King and Black Namor miniseries too.
Last one I wanted to mention. It's on the third issue. I haven't talked about it yet, but Fear Case.
Yeah, we talked about
yeah,
the first one. I haven't watched. I didn't read two
yeah,
or three.
I read three.
Okay. I wasn't
yeah,
here
I'm
last up, time
I'm,
when you guys
I'm up
talked
to date.
About.
I don't. Nobody else had read it, so I think I just kind of like.
Oh, okay. I'm up to date on it now.
Yeah.
Have they ever explained why the husband changed everything?
No, they really, they're focusing on the detectives. So, like, once you meet a case holder on to her, they really just kind of whip through them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, this third issue picks up with the agents have 1 day left to solve this case. And they kind of go all around. They're like following a trail in this issue. The mistress who had the case, she ends up in this hotel room. I don't even know. In this hotel room, dead. and all these, like, I don't even know what's around, what's surrounding her, these entrails or something.
Oh, yeah, I think that was the last issue.
Oh, was that the last issue? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I ran them both together.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No. It's, yeah, like, there's the horrific thing. He chases down, somebody, like, it's the closest he's gotten with it, chasing after this guy who has the case, but he gets away.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in the third issue, that's when it's their, like, it's the night before their last day. And then they're talking to each other, and the one guy's like, you know, this is a government plot. They want, keeping detectives on this only for a year. That's a ruse the government's doing so that they can keep doing it. And the other guy's like, you're going crazy, guy. This is why they keep you off for a year, because you get into these crazy theories. And the other guy's like, you're naive, man. I'm going to stick with this, you know, on my free time, you know, even after I'm off it.
Yeah.
Which, and the guy's like, you're nuts. And they kind of go separate ways. And
the one guy disappears.
Well, yeah.
And he has, and Winter's the younger guy, and Mitchum has to, there's some, like, drug dealers or something.
Yeah, he starts looking for him, and he gets, like, it was almost like the guy, like, just walked by and, like, punched him or something.
Yeah,
but he gets kind of, like, knocked out and lays on the ground, and then he gets up and he goes back to the office looking for his partner. He's not there, so he goes back to the guy's apartment, and he's not there.
Yeah.
And then they, like, flash back to the night before, after they had just split up. And the somebody knocks on the detective's door and hands him a bag. And then as soon as he grabs the bag, the guy goes into this, like, trance. His, like, word bubble changes. And he repeats that, like, the, you know, give this to your worst enemy. If you don't, it'll be, you know.
You have to give it to the person you hate the most within 3 days, or it goes to the person you love.
The most. Yeah, and whatever you do, don't open it. And he the last scene is him opening the bag, and then the bag turns into the case.
Yeah.
So, and then, like, you get this, like, almost venomy effect. And so I think the next issue is the last issue.
Last issue.
This has been really good. It's Matt Kent.
It's Matt Kent and Tyler Jenkins. They did Black Badge together, which I really loved. So, yeah, it's been a nice, short, little, cool story.
Yeah.
Looking forward to see how this ends up. And that's all I got. Pat?
Geiger number one.
I read that.
I enjoyed this.
Mm-hmm.
It was Jeff Johns and
Gary Frank.
Gary Frank, yeah. So, the premise is there's a nuclear war, and the Geiger... he owned a bomb shelter, and right as the bomb was about to drop, he's, you know, getting his family into the shelter, and the neighbors come by with their weapons. They're like, sorry neighbor, but we got to take this from you. And, you know, so he tells his family, get in there, no matter what happens, stay in the shelter. Bomb drops, his neighbors are obliterated, and...
Well, before that, they shoot his dog.
Yeah.
So they deserved everything they got.
Well, they did anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, he, of course, is scarred by the bomb. So, you know, this apparently takes place years later, and the king has sent people off to... scrounge for supplies.
Who's like this kid king?
Well, yeah, but So, and then they find out, you know, they're all in, like, radioactive hazmat suits, because nothing can survive without a suit, except for Geiger, who can, did, and totally obliterates these guys.
They're talking about him, right? They're saying, like,
the
glowing man, and people think it's,
think it's a myth.
Yeah.
They call him, like, the man who walks without a coat or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's like, he's kind of become, like, mythical and feared kind of thing.
So, you know, he dispatches them, and the king is told about it.
He talks to his two-headed dog.
Yeah. But we find out that the king is, number one, a kid, and number two, he's living in Excalibur in Las Vegas.
Yeah, he's the second, he's the son of the king.
Yes, so he's now the second king, let's say, living in Vegas in the Excalibur Hotel Casino.
Which makes me wonder about this nuclear war, because they clearly missed Vegas, but if you're going to, like, fire anything at Nevada, like... Vegas would be your target, right?
No.
Oh, are they? Is it? Is he near the, like, the nuclear weapons, or
is your aim to kill people, or is your aim to, I mean, never getting to defensive strategy, but is your goal to kill people, or is your goal to take out military targets?
Yeah, I could see, okay, that makes sense. Because, but it struck me as weird when they go to Vegas and Vegas looks like,
yeah,
pristine.
The strip looks fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
They do refer to it as the unknown war in the book, for whatever that means.
But it was a fun little book.
It reminded me of the origin story for the Hulk.
Okay.
He's near the blast and gets irradiated. So it's, I feel like that's kind of tropey. But
well, I think it's really tropey that his name is Geiger.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't see this coming, did you? It's like Lou Gehrig getting Lou Gehrig's disease. I did not realize that was going to happen. Whoa. Too soon, Colin? Sorry.
Craziness.
But it's, I'm curious to see where it goes, because I feel like I associate Geoff Johns with nothing but superheroes. This is just like...
This is definitely superhero.
Yeah, but that's what I'm wondering is how is it going to get like more superhero-y? You know, are there going to be other powered people, or is he just like the lone superhero in this, you know, apocalyptic world?
So. Has he done an independent book before, or am I missing something?
I don't think so.
This is his first one, other than Marvel or DC.
Yeah. Seven Secrets, number 7.
I read that.
So, this was good. We kind of get a little more backstory, and we find out that these, they're like weird, I don't even know how to explain them. They're not aliens, but they're like in a weird,
like fairies.
Supposed to be fairies, right?
Yeah, but they don't look like traditional fairies.
They're very,
like dark fairies, like evil. Yeah. They almost look like evil kind of fairies, kind of.
Yeah, like Guillermo del Toro evil fairies.
But anyway, what we find out is they were the ones that raised the kid for a time. And now that he's returned, they don't want to let him go back to humans and into the society. So... They're trying to keep him, and there's a scene where he's in the water, like swimming towards an island. The island keeps getting further and further away, and he starts remembering. Oh wait, I was here, as a kid, and he was, like 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah.
Because, but like he did training there, like he fought knights and could win. He fought.
Because again, like time is different over there. So they even told him, like, "Hey, you have to let him like
let him age
normally." Let him age.
Yeah.
But he, he eventually escapes, and they decide that they got to go back to the real world to deal with the aftermath of them opening. I think it was the first case. They opened one of the cases, so see where this goes. And the last one I'll talk about is Resistance Uprising number 1.
You're right, then.
So, at the end of the first Resistance, the character was kind of linking it. She's kind of like the Professor X.
Yeah.
She can kind of like mind link all the reborns.
Yeah.
And she can actually locate them. So she's also kind of like Cerebro.
Yeah, I was just going to say she's like her own personal Cerebro.
Yeah. She dies. But what she tells the surviving Reborns is that there are others like her out there and they need to find them in order to continue to fight and to help the other Reborns from being exploited and you know, captured and killed by the government. So it kind of sets up real nice, you know, what's going to happen. I know one of the other books that's coming out is Moth, which is another Reborn story. Erratic is a Reborn story. So their original plan is for this to be a shared universe, and it looks like they're starting to kind of bring it together. You know, we may get to see some of these other characters now start to show up.
Well, my only problem with the issue was, and it's not even like a problem, it just it took a while to, with the change of artist, to get used to like trying to figure out, and it being so long since the last one, it's like, oh wait, this character is this person, like, you know what I mean? It took me a minute to try to read, but like I said, it's not like a big issue, it's just, you know.
Well, in general, you know, they're not wearing like, okay, it's Batman. I know that's Batman.
Yeah.
You know, so it's...
They're just people.
Yeah.
But hopefully, at the end of this issue, it made it seem like they were going to get some costumes.
Yeah, but I mean, I think this is only the fifth or sixth issue period. So, it, you know, it's not like, hey, we've read 100 issues of these people. We know who they are by sight, so...
Yeah.
But it's pretty good. And that's it.
I read Venom number 34 and King in Black. I kind of talked about these together. So Venom 34 is like basically a recap of King in Black so far. Like, you honestly could read Venom 34 and King in Black, and that's it. Like, you don't need to read everything that's come before. So it's a recap of like the story to now, where like the light, Null is the king of black, the king in dark of darkness, and then there is an equal opposite part, that's like the light. So that symbiote it's like a symbiote also that has come and bonded with Eddie Brock, who's been like laying in a hospital because he was like near death from fighting Null, and so he's, because he's powered by that light symbiote, Venom has to like disconnect and go away, and we see what I assume is Venom like bonding with the like a hand coming out of a grave that is in the tombstone. You don't see the whole thing, but it's like it's clear it's Flash Thompson. You see like the enough letters that you can tell who it is. So seems like they're resurrecting Flash Thompson to be Venom, and then in
King he was anti-Venom, may they do that again.
Maybe, I don't know, but they're bringing him back. He's getting resurrected. In King in Black 5, this is the like the final battle between Eddie and Null, and it is resolved in like the lamest way possible. They've been setting up this thing where like Dylan's powers are supposed to like be like critical to this, but so like
confusing because they said it was the most wild, craziest thing they've ever done.
No, it's just stupid. It's so like here the whole time through this, I was like in my head calling the shot, like, oh, Dylan is going to kill the King in Black, not Eddie, and like he's going to be, you know, impacted by it. But that doesn't happen at all. Eddie grabs Null in his like big light Venom like
Captain Universe
version. Yeah. Well, they call him Captain Universe, but that is just like a deep cut Marvel thing from, because he doesn't, he's Venom. Like, okay. He's just Venom, but because he gets to like choose his form, and he chooses the Venom form. So it's basically Venom picks him up and flies to the sun and throws him in the sun, which is like the stupidest like way to end this battle. And there were like so many ways that they could have ended it like better.
None of the dragons stopped him?
Yeah, it's like just the dumbest
thing. No, once you get into space, dragons can't go into space.
They came from space.
So he throws him into the sun, like flies him there. And
so the sun doesn't affect him.
Well, he's
the power of light.
He's the god of light now. Like, okay. But in killing Null, all the symbiotes are free, and Eddie becomes the King in Black. So all the symbiotes now answer to Eddie, and Eddie is like the god of the symbiotes now. So seems like they're setting up Flash Thompson as Venom, Eddie is some kind of god-like thing. So
until the next writer changes it.
Yeah, yeah. Until he goes, that stuff didn't happen. Yeah, so like the art is good, but this is a story that they should have done in like two issues and like just wrapped it up. It didn't need to be this. There wasn't enough there for it to support an event. And I feel like events are not Donny Cates' strength. Yeah. Donny Cates' strength are like do a quick like 5-6 issue story, get in, get out, like be done with it.
See you, Tim.
See you, Tim.
But next thing I read was Green Lanterns.
I read that.
Yeah. Yeah. I really liked this.
Yeah, I liked it.
It was really, really good.
Yeah. Nobody's going to read it.
Well, you're not hand-selling it enough, Colin.
I didn't read it till last night.
I didn't pick it up last Wednesday because you went on a rant about it.
Well, I just thought that was a horrible cover.
Yeah.
But cover's meant to sell the book. Yeah. Right.
Cover with little manga girls saying, Teen Lantern is here. It's like.
But she is not even like in this. She's kind of it's almost like a throwaway, like it's the C story that they probably come
You're
back
right,
to
but they made it the cover story, meaning it was, you know, she was the new Green Lantern.
Yeah, well that's because they wanted to put. Because
they love their new characters.
The Guardian guy. On the cover, like he's there's a cover of this that gives away the ending that I think would sell a lot more books.
Yeah.
This is hard to recap because a lot happens, which is one of the reasons I like it.
There's like a galaxy like council thing going on. It gave me really, like, flashbacks to, like, the Star Wars prequel movies for a minute. You know, they had everybody sitting around.
Yeah. So, this is the thing that the Universe Council or something?
Something like that, yeah.
That Superman started. And, or I guess, right? They say that at some point in the issue. But, so this council is voting on, like, members. And they don't want Oa in because they feel like the Green Lanterns are like a they're the universe's police force, but like just because the Guardians made them that, it's by no one's like authority, like no one chose
them. That in, that's like them saying that
it's almost like an endorsement.
Yeah.
So and the one like witch lady who like. Half the members are clearly evil, so which is a little like the Yellow Lanterns, Red Lanterns, just like these monster-looking things. So there's like the one lady gives a speech to like I vote yes, and then everybody else immediately votes no. And the one witch lady is she's talking about how the Green Lanterns they steal the green energy for themselves, and it like hurts everyone else in the universe. But then they're attacked, so all the Green Lanterns go out to fight the whatever. It's sort of a nondescript force
yeah.
that's attacking them, and all it's good that all the Green Lanterns are there because they can fight it off, but you know, we don't know exactly what it is. They talk about the Teen Lantern and how, like, she's not a Green Lantern, like, she wasn't given a ring,
yeah.
but she has somehow made this gauntlet that gives her Green Lantern powers, but it wasn't done by the Guardians.
They want to take it so they can examine it, but she doesn't want to take it off, and that's yeah. a big, big issue there.
Yeah. And then, what's the name of the, forgetting the race of the Hawkman people. The
Thanagarian.
The yeah. Thanagarian
yeah,
lady.
Yeah, there's a couple of them there.
But there's the one cool one who seems to have it seems like they're setting her up to have a relationship with Jon Stewart.
I mean, yeah.
But yeah, this issue was really, really good.
The only thing that I was kind of confused about is in the beginning, John is talking to Hal through the ring because Hal's on Earth doing stuff, and he's like, "Hey, if you need me, I'm a light jump away. So whenever everything hits the fan,
he doesn't call him. Yeah. Well, they're trying to. I almost feel like this is meant to be like a sister book to like a Hal Jordan book,
yeah.
and then this book. But there is no Hal Lantern, Hal Jordan.
Yeah,
because it's like, you know. You're Earth's defender, I'm the rest of the universe.
Because, I mean, we even get...
Yeah, and sadly, the writer did an interview with someone saying he hates Hal Jordan. So it's like, oh, that's a good start.
Yeah, but I feel like people make too much out of that. Because, you know, he's just like...
I mean, we do get
There's
to
a
see...
whole generation of people who grew up with Hal Stewart on...
Yeah,
John Stewart, thank you. I was wrong as soon as I said it. But on that cartoon, so.
Yeah. Well, it's just because we get to see like a little bit of it. You know, we even got to see some Guy and Kilowog. I think the only other one we didn't see was Kyle in there at all.
Yeah, he was on there just in a flashback, like he was somewhere and did something.
Oh, okay, I must have just missed it then.
Yeah, that was when one of them was reporting back to the
Baz is with Teen Lantern, and then
Jessica was doing something on a moon. Yeah, that was all during that recap.
Oh, Tankers, number one.
Oh, that.
From Bad Idea.
Sold out. Hopefully you guys can get yours online soon. They magically sold out again.
Yeah.
Shocking.
So, this book reminded me of, like, a Mark Russell book without the humor.
Please explain
yeah,
that, because...
Yeah. Okay, so, like, like those Paul Verhoeven movies, like RoboCop and Starship Troopers, where like they're crazy violent, mm-hmm. and the people in them, like, they don't know that they're idiots, right? If it was like a Mark Russell book, like somebody would be there saying, "Hey, this is stupid," right? And there'd be like a, you know. And they bring a lot more jokes and stuff. So the plot of this is there is an oil company, and like you're introduced with this guy in like a board meeting, and he's like, "I'm a Texan, and even my father was from Scotland, but he was a Texan at heart." And he's like, "And we are oil men, and we will be oil men forever."
Hey, to my grandchild,
yeah.
he's gonna be an oil man.
Yeah, like everyone in my family from now on will be an oil man. But they're like,
"If I have a daughter,
yeah,
oil man."
Yeah, and they're at this board meeting, but the oil reserves on the planet are running out. They will be out in 50 years, and those are by the those are the studies that we paid for. So who actually knows how long it'll be until there's no more oil? So they devise this plan to go back in time. To shoot down the asteroid that killed the dinosaurs.
To
shoot it out of the way so it doesn't hit the Earth.
Yeah, so whenever it like goes around, so it won't hit for like So whenever it comes back around again, another million years or whatever.
Yeah, 50 million years, I think, is what they buy themselves by pushing it off course. So they have this, like a PowerPoint slide or something, where it's three dinosaurs and then a funnel into a gas tank. Like, and then the next one, like, if they push this thing away, they have, like, you know, 50 dinosaurs into this thing. And they're, like, they're talking about, like, if we have 50 million years more of, you know, dead dinosaurs, then
take oil from.
We would have oil for at least another 100 years and that we could keep selling. So they send this, like, elite tanker squad, which they're, like, these...
Mech suit
army, like, stereotypical, like, army... guy, tough army, tough guys.
I could almost see, like, everybody being played by, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger almost.
Yeah. Yeah, very much. Before they go through the time portal, they're like, we don't go through any time portals unless we fire first.
Yeah, I don't go through any door without firing first.
They just start firing rockets through this door before they even know what's on the other side. And then they go through.
And you see, like, this awesome spread of just these dinosaurs just eating, mind their own business.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, what's the one with the long neck?
Brontosaurus?
Just head gets they, just yeah, bro, they, just cut in half by, like, a missile.
And then it's, like, six pages.
Yeah.
And then just, like, machine gunning and, like, fighting these dinosaurs. Like, there's one guy who gets chomped on by a T-Rex, but then he, like chainsaws himself out of it, and
I was almost thinking, like, I know they're extinct, but if Peter sees this, are they gonna get mad? Yeah. Because it's just a lot of killing, like, you know.
Yeah. And they like at the end they start picking up all the dinosaur bones or like dinosaur heads that so that they're like, oh,
they're like
so
putting them
on
their
mantle.
Mech, like, yeah. So
and then the scientist come through the portal, and they've, like, set up a camp, and
they build up the rocket,
it's like a laser beam, right?
Yeah, whatever they
whatever it is, it knocks the thing off course, and then they're like, okay, time to go back to the future, and then when they go back,
it looks
they're
exactly
in the
same, yeah,
and the guy's like, you idiot, you took us to the wrong time, and he's like, well, we're not in the wrong time, but we are in the wrong place, I miscalculated slightly, we're not where we're supposed to be.
Because they didn't account for whenever the asteroid hit Earth, it changed its, like, rotation orbit or something.
Yeah, its rotation or something is slightly different.
So they didn't factor that in on the return or whatever, so they're in what you said, wrong place? So that's what they...
Yeah, because they're in the right time, but they're in the middle of the jungle, and it's... The last page is them, like, being attacked, like, all these, like, dinosaurs creeping up on them.
Like, out of the trees. They're, like, tree dinosaurs.
Yeah, so it's, it's very much just, like, I thought this was going to be a one-shot, which it worked perfectly as a one-shot. It's just the story of, like, you know, meddling with time and, you know, destroying the Earth, effectively. But, yeah, it was a good book, but it was... Like, it was funny, but it wasn't, like, there weren't, like, jokes. You know what I mean? So
everyone's playing it, like, completely straight.
Yeah, everyone's a straight.
Yeah, nobody's just, like, well, so, like, if we go back.
It sounds like satire, and everyone's playing it because everyone's playing it completely straight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're, like, because no, not at any time that anybody, like, so if we go back and we stop this, it can't have any, like, ill effect or anything, right? Like, you know, and they're, like, no, nobody... Everybody just goes with it, like, yeah.
Yeah. So, yep. Yeah, that was the last thing I read.
Amazing Spider-Man 63. Spider-Man and Boomerang are, still hunting down the different parts of the life tablet that the Kingpin is after, and now that the Kingpin has, like, basically sicked all the different gangs on them to try to stop them, because you know whoever stops them, you know, they get the get out of jail free, you know, card and stuff like that. And then so they're in a fight with Hammerhead's gang, and then the Owl shows up with his gang, so they get stuck in the middle of that. Spider-Man is able to hold him enough off enough so Boomerang can escape with the piece of the tablet, and now with Spider-Man, with his new costume, he's able, it helps him take out, you know, all the different gang members pretty quickly, and is able to escape himself. And then, so then, the other part of the story is Robbie confronts his son about dating Tombstone's daughter. They get into an argument and fight about it, and then so does the Tombstone and his daughter. They get into an argument, and then there's a scene where Robbie's son goes to talk to Peter about it, and to where Tombstone's daughter goes to talk to the other chicks that are in, like, the, I forget the name of the gang. It's, like, the Syndicate something or other. They're both, Peter and then her friends are basically telling them the same thing. Like, you know, like, maybe you guys should break up because, like, you know, because the girls are, like, he's just gonna try to change you or, you know, save you. And then Peter's just, you know, is like that, I forget what his argument was, but so then they meet up and back at the apartment, and they end up having an argument, and then the gang leader, or I feel he's one of, like, the main mob guys, and then the masked lady from Iron Man, she always has, like, the middle face on.
Not a mask.
Yeah. Shows up, and, because, you know, they're looking for, because they know that Boomerang lives there, and they're looking for the tablets, and the issue ends with an explosion going off in the apartment building. Did you read Firepower, Dave?
Yeah.
More just kind of setting up for the big battle coming on, but still just, like, I really like these issues. Like, even whenever stuff that, you know, it might not be a big, like, moving the story, like, forward, it's a good, like, character, you know. You, yeah, like, moments with, like, these characters, and you get to really feel like you get to, you know, yeah, them and stuff like that.
Yeah, sometimes after reading these, that's what I remember most. I don't remember the plot as much as, you know, how well drawn the character.
Yeah.
Not, you know, how good the characters are, their personalities.
No, but yeah, but like I said, because the issue actually ends with them going back to the temple and starting, you know, the big fight with them.
Yeah, it's going to be a big battle between the Scorched Earth clan and what's the other people called? I can't remember.
Yeah, where he was at originally.
Temple of the Flaming Fist.
Something like that.
That's it.
And I'm interesting because at some point in time, he's going to have to find out that the old love of his life is actually alive.
Yeah.
That's going to be an interesting moment.
Yeah, it's real good.
Yeah. Nocturna, number two. Nobody read the second issue?
Didn't get to it yet.
This issue is basically, we get to, they do a little bit of a flashback to back to whenever two main characters were kids right after the lights started to go out. And just talking about how, you know, the daughter is looking through the house for AA batteries because she knows a lot of flashlights take AA batteries. So that's something you know, that can become viable and stuff like that. And it just has like a, it was just like a good like touching moment between the brother and sister, and then it jumps back to the present where they're taking the ferry, or they're taking the old man, and they don't say if it's his daughter or the young girl, who, because the old man says that he supposedly has a cure for a machine that's supposed to like remake like light, and it will get rid of like, you know, all the darkness and the creatures that are going on and stuff like that. But there is a somebody who is like on the hunt for that old guy, so now they're in the crosshairs of this guy. That's kind of like a chase thing going on now. But it's pretty good issue. I'm really liking the series more than what I thought I was originally getting into it. And then the last thing I'll talk about is Swamp Thing number 2. It starts out with him talking to his friend, because when they find him from last issue when he comes out of the tree, he just keeps on thinking that he keeps on having these nightmares, like every night whenever he's going out and like becoming Swamp Thing. He thinks that they're just like nightmares, but he's like, you know, actually going out and doing that stuff. And he eventually, towards the end of the issue, he kind of embraces it a little bit more. And because in the previous issue, the sheriff who was out in the desert, who saw the Peril Rider, I think that's what his name, it's like this desert ghost like bandit kind of thing, because the sheriff goes back out and he sets like a big fire, and he's trying to to bring him out to try to kill it, because it killed somebody else last issue. And then the Swamp Thing shows up, and they kind of have a fight, I can't really remember how it ends, but it was a good issue, though. I can't remember the exact ending of it, but I liked it. But that was it.
That was it?
That was it.
And the only one I have left is Batman 107.
I read it. Yeah. I don't remember what happened.
Basically, Batman, it starts with him being captured by the Scarecrow, and the Scarecrow, I don't know, doing stuff. And with him talking, you know, don't give in. And then previously, and the whole thing is a flashback to the Scarecrow. Somebody broke into the mayor's house and just put this Scarecrow there. And there's no fear talks and nothing. And it's just basically like Batman realizes they're just trying to instill fear throughout Gotham without actually doing anything. And that's about it. It's a lot of setting up the mayor making the decision to get the magistrate program going. Right. And it's just all setting that up.
Yeah, there was really nothing that happened.
Yeah, and then the back half was a ghost maker story where he's getting out of bed, where he was just with a man and a woman, but has a towel wrapped around his head so you can't see what he looks like. And then he goes and he just jumps out of the airplane, and like his AI is saying, you'll never survive the fall. And he does. And he had set up some people who had like burned him in the past to be in this one location. And now he's going to go take them all down because they want to kill him and he wants to take them down. So, yeah.
Set up. You'd think that Batman, after the whole Batman Who Laughs, would not be okay with being around a guy that always has like the top half of his face covering away.
Yeah,
like, how can you?
Well,
see
he knows
anything?
Who he is, but yeah, it's I don't know, whatever.
Yeah,
it's not that compelling a character to me.
No.
That's all I read. I'll do better this time, I promise. My arm's
right.
Starting to hurt.
So what's coming out next week, Colin?
I don't know. You gotta give me the invoices back, Pat.
Well. Okay.
Starting off with, from DC, we have the hugely popular, although it's suddenly rocketing up the prices on the spec market, so these won't be around long, but it's Batman Fortnite number 1. Because I really made a point, this is my lowest ordered DC comic ever.
Really?
Yeah. Just, I'm like, what's the point of this? Fortnite, even my son who loved Fortnite doesn't play it anymore. So what market is this for? And also realizing that the new head of DC Comics comes from where?
Esports.
Esports. So this is 100% his baby. And I just don't see any point to it. They're also shipping bagged so nobody can read it because it has a special downloadable for the Fortnite game. Mm-hmm. And it's, and we can return them. This was my favorite. We can order them returnable, but they have to be in perfect shape when they get returned. So, but,
you can't even get them shipped to you. And,
right, but books that come to us, unless they're torn, even if they have a crunched corner, are not deemed damaged by DC. Yet, so I could get order 100 of these and send 90 of them back, but they could deem them unusable, throw them away, and not give me the credit. So that's too much of a chance to take when they won't even allow us, they won't give us damages because they're so picky. So,
which is crazy to me because it's a credit. It's not like they're writing you a check.
Right, right. So I ordered 5. I'm like, I have no faith, no confidence. Then they FOC'd it again the next week because I'm going to say I'm not the only one that had that same mentality. So
I'm surprised that that's the lowest you've ever, of a DC book. I would have thought it would have been like, you know, Harley Quinn pajama party something like that.
No, but of a number one.
People would buy the shit out of
But even,
of
even the $10, even the $10.
I don't know. I was trying to come up with something.
No, but even the $10 holiday stuff, I order more than that. But I just wanted to make a point of, like, nobody wants this book. Nobody asked for it. But apparently...
It's the wrong character to put in Fortnite.
Yeah. And then in issue 3, he's fighting Snake Eyes from G.I. Joe. It's like, how does that even... You know, no. It's a gimmick. I'm not playing your game.
No. Bad gimmick.
Good luck to you. That's also digital.
Yeah,
you know, and you can
playing Fortnite and want
right.
Code,
you can buy the book just for the code and download it. So it's like, why? Hooey. We also have Justice League number 60. Yay. Nightwing 79. That was really good.
It's
Tom Taylor.
Be your second lowest ordered book.
No, it's not because Justice League. And I did sell through number one.
Justice League is
And then Superman Red and Blue number 2. Then
how did the first one of that sell? Did people?
It sold okay, but I didn't order very many because I had 2 holds for it because nobody knew it was coming.
Man.
So I guessed correctly and had, I think, 1 left, or 2 left. I think I still have 1 at home to read. I'm intrigued by it, but every time I get to it in the stack, it's like when I have more time. So we have a new one from Black Mask, Alice in Leatherland number 1.
Well, at least it's Black Mass and not Boundless.
True,
yeah, they know their audience.
Yeah. Alien number 2, I know you guys like that. Amazing Spider-Man 64. We have Avengers 45, King in Black. I hope they get to take down Null in this issue. Carnage, Black, White, and Blood number 2. Kojikaru, The Skinner. This is a new one from Mike Mignolaverse. Eternals number 4. This is one that I love. So Geiger sold out. We've already had to order second prints. Going for now money online. Oh, Geiger number 1 cover E, the glow in the dark variant is coming next week. So it's like, did I really need second prints? Because just ship all the books at once, guys. I don't know how to make that clear.
You can't plan these.
Because they did that with Noctera, where the glow in the dark shipped 2 weeks after number 1. They did that with Berserker. It's like, it's impossible to track this stuff, and I think they're doing it so that we do order second prints that we don't need, because I still have, you know, now I have 10 first prints coming.
Or maybe they thought that those were just the regular ones, and it wasn't until after they left and they turned the lights off and they saw they were going.
Well, no, but the other thing is, let's say you wanted to read it, but you wanted the glow-in-the-dark one. Well, I was out of them, so you grabbed the regular cover.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to ship different covers different weeks. Because I can't keep track. You know that's happening. You know, they know that's happening.
Yeah. And then also put it on the customer.
But I don't remember that I have 10 more coming. My memory's not that good. You know.
Well, you know, there's only like 3 books that come out of
Yeah.
Week, so.
Yeah.
Girls of Dimension 13. This was a new one. I want to say from Aftershock. Godzilla Monsters and Protectors. Boy, that would have been great to have a couple weeks ago. Haha, number 4. Jonna and the Impossible Monsters, number 2. That's the Chris Somney book. Man's World, number 4. That's from AWA. Boom is giving us The Many Deaths of Layla Starr. This is a new one from Rom V.
I had called and had Tim put that on my hold okay. that for me because they had a thing in the back of Secret 7.
Okay.
And it was pretty good.
Mighty Valkyries, number 1, is another Valkyrie series. They seem to do them
is
all.
Is that by Jason Aaron?
Or is it I think it's Jason Aaron and somebody.
Okay, I'm not reading that.
So, Old Guard Tales Through Time. This is like an anthology book with other writers telling different stories of the characters from the Old Guard throughout time. We have Sword, number 5. Now, finally, After King in Black. Yay. Way of X, number 1. This is a new Nightcrawler series. Women of Marvel, celebrating women in...
Marvel,
but in... yeah.
Marvelous Woman.
But wasn't last month celebrating women? Wasn't March? I could be wrong.
You can celebrate women every
absolutely,
month.
But there was... I know Joe...
I think March was Women's History Month.
There you go. Because I know Joe was doing a spotlight on a different female creator every day.
Oh, okay.
So that would have made more sense. X-Force number 19, and then a new one. I'm not sure exactly what this is, but you promised me Darkness. So that's what's coming out next week. AWA is our spotlight feature, which is nice because all their books are $9.99, so it's an easy one to take a chance on. Mm-hmm. Not doing anything else right now. We are getting the back issues stocked up. I forget where Pat left off. I know he got Cap done. I think he was working on Detective and Daredevil next. You know, Alphabet.
Well, yes, I know Alphabet, but I know some of your customers don't.
It's okay. I think that's about all we
got. This is when you try to do them. They might know it in order. They just don't, you know, at the opposite ends, they don't get it.
No, even some.
It's the stuff in the middle. It's the H-I-J-K-L. That area confuses a lot of
people.
They
start strong and they end strong. Yeah, it's just a lot of
Yeah, they know where the Z's are.
L-M-N-O-P. I mean, that's a tough letter.
So, I think that's about all we got. Ellen, this went a little longer than I thought. We got it. We hit an hour. All right. All right. Pat, send us home.
That's podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.